Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Red Light Podcast Redux. I am your host, Gina Savage. Today I'm joined with, and I will tell you because I always do this, I like to run the list of credits down.
Anything.
Before I do that, I want to welcome WROM radio listeners in Detroit, internet users worldwide, subscribers on iTunes and Podomatic. Okay, so our guest today, she hosts the Check Spot on Sirius XM. You had your own podcast, her first time podcast.
Yes.
About periods.
Yes.
About women's periods. You definitely want to stay for this show.
I got a story behind that.
We'll get to that. Prestigious Montreal Comedy Festival. That's coming up?
No, I did that
you
last
did that
year. I did New Faces last year. Yeah.
Where
but
am
it
I?
Is just coming up.
Okay.
New Faces, I think New Faces 2016. They haven't released the list yet, but I did it New Faces 2015.
Fair enough. Glasgow International Comedy Festival. You were voted one of the 10 funniest comics in New York City from the New York Comedy Festival, Caroline's, that whole thing.
Yeah.
That's a big deal. That's a big deal. Look at, I'm like, all of a sudden I'm Regis. That's a big
I
deal.
I appreciate it.
What's her name? I'll get to that. Access TV, Gotham's Comedy Live.
Yes,
right?
Very fun, yeah.
You have a web series, Dumbbells.
Yeah.
You're on Elite Daily's Gen Y.
True.
I love this. It's like, are these the
confirmed.
Facts?
Confirmed.
Are these the facts as
it's
you...
It's all true.
All right.
If I was going to make up things, I'd make up better things. But.
There's two more things that there's actually more. NACA, you just got into that, right? You're going to be doing...
that was so funny. I did six NACAs 2 years ago.
Okay.
But then I did just get into another one of those.
Okay.
But I didn't really post it when I got in. And then my friend got into one and she posted it and got like 300 likes. So I was like, oh, I should have been posting that shit more. Right.
I'm going to tell everyone your name. Now, this is Emma Willman. We're sitting with right
What's
now.
What's going on? Welcome. And I'm in Elle magazine this month.
Right,
July
featured
issue.
In Elle. What
magazine.
The hell? Elle. Wow. Elle.
That
what
was
the
cool.
Hell? Yeah, it was
that
for a moment. But you're also on Investigation Discovery. My favorite.
Oh man,
it's my favorite channel of all time.
I love ID. That channel too.
A channel rules.
It's addictive.
It's. So, I want to know. Well, first of all, I love crime, forensics,
yep.
Anything like that. So it's like. That's,
it's fascinating, and it's fascinating, and also for me at least, it makes me feel a little bit better about myself sometimes. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
in my life.
Look at these.
They're killing people.
Murderous losers.
I'm still alive. They're eating flesh.
I know, they're eating flesh.
I'm just, you know, eating old cheese or whatever, but yeah.
We're just snacking out.
Right. So yeah. That makes me, and it's, but I love those shows like Deadly Affairs. Do you
oh
have a favorite
God.
One of those?
I was big, well, I used to just love Forensic Files when
yes.
That was on.
That is scary, kind of.
Yeah, it was, yeah, because, but I mean, everything has a little, you know, what is it, like a DNA.
Yes.
Everything has a DNA, whether it's an internet, you know, history, that DNA, right? Computer
totally.
DNA or a physical. You can't get away with stuff. You can't. I mean, people do, but you really can't.
Right.
I mean, you ultimately, listen, let me just say this out there in the world. All of your secrets will be discovered.
Oh, God.
Everything. Okay.
Oh,
welcome to the
it's
show.
The truth.
Everyone, welcome to the all of your secrets will be revealed. And they do, and they will, and they are.
Oh,
and
God.
I know them all, and especially in comedy.
She knows.
Don't think you don't think I know everything. Okay. All right. Moving on.
She knows.
She knows. That's the name of this episode.
Yeah.
All right. Let's tell the folks, because this is obviously, there's so much going on with you. When I met you, you were interviewing me. It was the other way
right.
around, like my history in comedy and, you know, Barry Katz,
yeah.
The Boston Comedy Club, and, you know, my relationships with Al and the Broadway Comedy Club. What was the, name of that?
It was Stage Buddy. I had just moved back to New York, and maybe I'd been in New York for like 8 months, and I had this job doing sales for a website called Stage Buddy. And while I was there, I was just doing their sales stuff. They had a full production studio, and they were creating some content. And I was like, look, I would love to do interviews for you guys. And they were like, okay, you know, like with what kind of stuff? And I said a couple guests that I could. I was like, you know, these are people I know that would have like good insight. And then you and Al, they're both like, yes, absolutely. So I got to interview both of you guys. I don't think they ever ended up airing Al's episode, which was really too bad.
No,
because
I think
it was
they did.
Great. Did they?
I think they did. I think they
okay, actually,
well, at least I've seen it. I know I've seen it.
They aired Emilio and Scott's. I got to interview them too. And I don't
New York
remember,
Comedy Club.
Yeah, New York
guys
Comedy
now,
Club guys.
Right.
Yeah, and I don't remember if they aired Al's, but I had never gotten to sit down and talk with Al before, and he was really funny and interesting.
Yes.
And he was telling me some like conspiracy theories about Hitler might have actually been in Argentina, which I'd never heard before.
Yeah, I think I might have heard that.
Yeah, I hadn't heard that one, so I heard it from Al first. So I was like, on top of everything else, I was like, Hitler was in Argentina at the end of the day, but
at the end of the day, he was hanging out.
That's where he went. But so I got to interview you for that, and that was so interesting with Barry Katz. And I don't know if did I ever tell you this? I ended up working with Katz for a year.
Okay, let's okay. I want to we'll get to that.
Oh yeah.
Let's start with okay, now I want to tell the because this is like we like to aim this gear this podcast to people that might actually want a comedy career or just in life in general.
Totally.
A little bit about how you grew up. Maine. One of how many kids?
It was I have a full sister, Katie, who's 19 months younger, polar opposite. Very feminine, you know, super organized. Different right away, like as kids, she was really thin, anorexic almost, okay. And I was obese.
So I don't see that in you.
I swear to God, Gina, I swear to God.
See
no
it.
One ever believes it, which I appreciate, right. But I'm glad that people aren't like, yeah, I could see that. But no, I was a really fat kid, and Katie was really thin. Every family photo looks like I just like ate all of her food, unfortunately, so but that wasn't what was happening. But I had her, and we grew up together until my parents separated third grade, really bad divorce. I feel like a lot of comedians probably had parents that were divorced.
Divorced or, you know, abusive.
Right. Something went look at him something laughing. Went wrong, you know, at a young age.
Yeah.
So then my sister and I were separated. She lived with my mom. I lived with my dad. And then my half-brother, who I don't know if I've ever told you about him, but I didn't know him very well. He lived with his mother. So we were all, I had two siblings, but we all grew up as only children.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a whole lot.
I know, it's crazy.
And then I'm just going to add, in Maine.
Yeah, in Maine. In really rural
in
Maine.
Rural Maine.
So rural.
Just trees and weirdness.
Gina is the official spokesperson for Maine. That was such a New York way to describe Maine. Just trees, weirdness. There's the trees, there's the weirdness.
Well,
that's Maine.
That's Maine.
What city people think Maine is,
well,
for sure.
You know what? We think it's like, for me, anything that's in the country or like you're in a house, you're
right.
In a house.
Oh, yeah.
I'm picturing everything to me as a Stephen King
right.
experience. Like, it's late, right? You're in the house. You're in the house.
Time to die.
I think that's how I think.
Right.
Like nothing good happens in a house.
It's everything good happens. This is what New Yorkers tell themselves. We have to justify. But it's so beautiful there. There's nothing going on. You'd probably bug out after a couple days because you're in the middle of nowhere. Like there's not one stoplight. Doesn't even have three colors. It's just one blinking red light.
So you never had this. Are you in the house alone?
No.
Emma, are you in the house alone?
No, and there was not even any security. You leave the door open. Right. My dad, I think, maybe has security now, but it's like people leave their cars unlocked.
All right, so it was all right.
It was really cute, but it is so rural. Nothing's really going on. You know, I haven't been back in a while, but it is rural. And then my sister left and went away to school. And then my mom lives in Boston now. But I live there. I lived there all the way up through 18, except for I went away. About 8 months, I tried going to prep school, and then I got removed.
You got removed?
Removed.
Was it because of your smart tongue?
Well, it was this, like, special prep school for dyslexic kids, and I had this crazy stepmom send me there. I had this bitch stepmom. For now, my stepmom's, like, the best, just great, but I had this crazy stepmom, and I use the word crazy loosely because I don't want to be dismissive. She was fucking nuts. So nuts. I don't know if I would have...
Category, like, did she have like some?
I think she had a personality disorder.
Okay,
because she always she told me that she was. Well, she told me that when she was younger, the way she first floated the topic was she was. My friend asked her how she lost her virginity, and she goes, "Well, I lost my virginity to my father when I was insert some extremely young age." So I'm over there like, wait. I was like, you lost your virginity at 10 to your father, and I was like, hey, I'm not gonna say her name, but I was like, so you were raped, and then she was like, yeah, you don't know anything, blah 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 blah.
Wait, what?
I was like, you were raped. Yeah. I was like, you didn't have, you're a kid, you didn't have sex with your father. Like, I was like, how am I the one first giving you this feedback?
Yes.
And then that made her like crazy. And I was young then. I think I was in about an eighth grade. And then she just hated me.
Well, so for exposing the truth about what happened.
Probably
to her?
She was in so much
denial
about it.
Yes.
That then having someone say, well, when did you lose your virginity? And then she says that, which to me, if I hadn't said something, I'm like, it was almost me trying to, like, not internalize that myself, that is even in any way
Right.
You
that,
know?
That happens.
Right.
Yeah, like, sure.
So I said that back almost out of shock, and then she hated me. So in her day job was she was a special ed teacher, so she told, and I'm dyslexic, so she told my dad, Emma will never be able to do well in school. She needs to be sent away. She'll flounder, you know, blah, blah, blah. So my dad listened to her. She's very persuasive and sends me to this dyslexic prep school. And that's a
never
thing.
Even heard of that.
I swear it's a thing.
It's a prep school for dyslexic. Okay, dyslexicans. It makes, okay.
And I've tried, I have spent so long trying to write about it, but I've never been able to find a way.
Does it still exist?
Yeah.
What's the name of
Landmark
it?
Landmark Academy. Yep. There's a Landmark High School and a Landmark College.
So you, okay.
And so. I just went to the high school for a little bit. But I went and I wanted to be home with my friends in Maine. Right. So I was like real pissed off about the whole thing. And I don't know how I actually got kicked. I was trying to get kicked out. Like I would like smoke cigarettes.
See, that's so cool of you. Like I never tried to get kicked out of anything. I was just like the goody-goody.
See, that sounds cool to me. But I wanted to get kicked out. And I didn't want to be away from home, too. It was like, you know, you're 14 years old and right. You go from such a tight-knit community.
Sure.
So I was smoking cigarettes, and then the school people were like, Emma, we know you're just trying to get kicked out. I'm like, son of a bitch. And then I did something really destructive. I, like, tried to throw myself down some stairs. Wow. I didn't even want to do it.
Not even, like an abortion situation.
Yeah. No, not at all.
I know.
And by try, I mean, I think right, I kind of, like, plop myself down mm-hmm. one stair. So it wasn't even, like, a whole... gallant effort.
That's time.
I did a tumble, basically.
Yeah.
But I think they actually asked if I was pregnant or what I was doing, which I didn't think of until you just said that. Yeah. Is that something people do?
Back in the day when they would go down the stairs. And so this was like the fate if they ever, you know, the Roe v. Wade and we take away the woman's right to choose. Yeah,
right.
Back in the day, they were like throwing themselves downstairs and going to like illegal places and you know hangars and whatnot.
How
a whole
you know
it's hard. It's
if
just
you go down the stairs. How do you?
Well,
know
I guess you miscarry and start
right.
bleeding.
That's so sad.
It's a horrible, horrible thing. So you know,
well, mine was
let's
nothing
go backwards.
Like that.
Let's go backwards.
I literally
right.
just plop myself down.
I love
the
how
stairs.
We went from dyslexia to like you know, hope you didn't.
Yeah, but
good
I went.
God.
I went down the just for like a little plop, and then they were like, okay, you're being self-destructive, blah blah blah, which is kind of what I wanted. I got kicked out, and then I went back to my high school and you know the public high school. Great time at it,
and then. You had a great time at that. And then when does comedy, how does that evolve?
So high school up till 18, rural Maine, graduate, go to Simmons, college, good time in school because I didn't really do that well in high school. Okay, Simmons goes well. And I always wanted to be in entertainment, but I stopped. I was like, I wanted to be in music. So I interned at a recording studio. I was like, I want to be music. I was obsessed with like using words as a product, especially I gravitated towards hip hop.
I was
going to
ask
whatever
that.
Reason. Yeah, I was like, oh, Jermaine Dupri is a genius. And I just thought, I saw him taking other people and making them into things and, you know, building up brands through people. And I was really interested in that. And like, it's kind of like, who are the key players here and how do they do that? So I was interested in him, interested in music. But when I went to the college, someone was like, why don't you try doing something like, I don't know if they use the word more normal, but...
Like stand up is.
Yeah, why don't you try something secure and safe, like being a stand up comedian.
Right.
But I didn't even think of comedy. I didn't even watch comedy. It wasn't even in my lexicon. But I was always right. kind of like I don't know if funny is the right word, but I was always like I did student government and people would be like, "You're the funny one." But I'd be like, "Well, I'm not trying to be funny. So go fuck yourself." I got to know why right. they were saying that. They're like, "You're silly." But I was like, "Well, I was just being serious, bitch."
Yes.
But
I get
yeah,
that.
Yeah. They'd always be like, "Oh, hi, you're so silly." I'm like, "Well, okay." I was just trying to skim. I was trying to cover up the fact that I wasn't paying attention in the meeting. And then I guess the way I presented it seemed funny, whatever. But people were saying that, but I never thought of comedy. Mm-hmm. Then I graduated Simmons, tried to invent something. That didn't work out. Went to a comedy show. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to see if I want to give this a shot. And that was right after undergrad.
Okay. So what year are we talking about?
Man.
Like, you're not going back that far. Man, that was like...
85 years ago, Gina.
Like,
it was...
like 6 years ago or
something. 1900s. We're going way back.
Hey, come on.
I don't remember I feel like... Okay. Yeah, I feel like 6 years ago, but the thing
I
was...
I just thought it was a stab in the dark. But, that's like no time.
But my memory is so screwed up because I took the full year off, too.
Okay.
Because I took a full year off from comedy. Because then I was doing it in Boston. Then I came to New York. And then I took the year off, which was a great year. And then I met you right when I came back.
Okay. So this is what I want to say about you, because like right out of the gate, and there are some people that are like, you know, they can, you see a light and they're going to, you know, they're going to go places, but you're like a go-getter from the start to me. Like you had a plan of attack. It seemed to me.
I wish my plan was more organized.
Well, you know, sometimes plans take all sorts of forms, but you came in and I'm like, this is you're hustling, but you're hustling and strategically, like you're like, I'm going to do these interviews. I'm going to do whatever, you know, and you made yourself known. A lot of people like, you know, not as aggressively moving forward as smart. I mean, I think you're one of the, like a really smart comic.
Appreciate it.
You know? And so like, out of the gate, you were one of those people that, like, I'd like to see more of you. I'm going to throw out the club's name, but I'd like to see more of you at the Broadway Comedy Club. Hopefully more of that will happen. That's just my two cents.
I actually just reached out to Al.
Did you?
Good. I love Broadway because Broadway is a real cross section of America. And I'm working on a set for something, and they said, I can't say what it is, but they said, they go, where I really want to see you working it out. They go, the best place. And I wasn't quite sure what she was going to say. And she said, where the person said, they said, you know, Broadway. And I was like, that's so interesting you say that. I was like, yeah, I completely understand what you're saying. She goes, Broadway's a great spot for understanding how something will go over in the country.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to just tag on that a little bit. The reason I think it's a great place to work out, you know, and obviously be great at, pardon me, is, again, because of the cross-section, because people aren't going in there necessarily, like, you know, if they go to other clubs, like they've maybe heard about this club or that club, and they think that Louis C.K. is going to be over here, or that they're already like jazzed up. Like people are legitimately coming in. Hey, let's see what's this is all about.
Totally.
So they're not as armed and ready to, you know, they're you know, sort of like just enjoying an experience without the. You know, they want to be proven that you're. Right. They want the proof that you're funny, if that makes sense.
Totally. Yeah. And they haven't been explicitly lied to, because there's some places where they'll be like, hey, Chris Rock's going to be there. I've heard places say Tina Fey's going to be there. Tina Fey doesn't even do stand-up. I mean, they'll say anything. So then it's like, this person's going to be there. And then they go in and then they get mad that the person's not there.
Well, I mean,
so then that's like a whole other thing.
Sadly, that does. I mean, look, I'm going to. That does happen. And that's not through any fault of the club. There are individuals
true.
That, you know, for whatever reason are on the street that, you know, it's very hard to monitor, but they're working on that issue.
Right. Oh, see, I've never had that at Broadway. I've never been in there where someone's been like, I thought Chris Rock was going
to
be here.
It happens from time to time, and it's, again, through no fault of the club, but the tickets get in the hands of someone that's unscrupulous, but we are working on that, and the Times Square community is working
on
that. And they are reprimanded. It's not like, you know.
Oh, yeah, I never thought that at Broadway.
But anyway, I hope to see more of you there, but so you, again, out of the gate. And so all these really great things started happening for you. And you created a lot. Like, so what came first? Like, did you create, like, your web series? Who?
I can tell you exactly. And we actually kind of put that on hold because we tried to pitch that as a show. And we had no idea what we were doing. And then we got into a college showcase. This is for dumbbells. And it was just, we've totally put that on hold. But I can tell you, it's a very clear thing.
Right.
So what it was is, get back, been doing it about a year back, but I had been doing it before, so I had done like bar shows, mics, I'm trying to think if I was in any clubs before I stopped for the year. I don't think so. I was barking at the Lantern all the time. That's why something that's very rewarding of being in at the Cellar now, because it's like I came to New York, I was going to the early mics at the Lantern, I remember being like, oh, this is hell on earth. Barking at the Lantern, hosting at the Lantern, working your way down, and then getting into Greenwich, which was great.
Right, for people outside of New York, though. So these are the clubs that are like in the downtown area.
Strip,
like like by the Comedy Cellar, you have the Grizzly Pear, the Pear, the Lantern, which is on Bleecker Street.
Right. If you when you come to New York, you gotta take a walk, and you're a real comedy fan, take a walk around Greenwich Village. It's an incredible thing to see.
I love it down there. Yep. I really do. I always have. And everything in my life has always, for whatever reason, has gravitated me down.
Oh, that's so interesting.
It always brings me there. My first job, which one of my first jobs as like a like when I was in college age, was at Le Figaro Cafe. And you can still see the awnings of Le Figaro, which was like a mecca for like Bob Dylan and all those people back in the day. So I still get a little bit, you know, emotional when I go down there because it reminds me of like my 20s and my boyfriend at the time and all of that.
We used to kiss in this corner.
I actually do look at spots like that. All around the city. Like I kissed that one over there.
Not the one boyfriend.
It's the Rolodex. A whole story. Yeah, the Rolodex of boyfriends, whatever. Okay.
But it is. They pack a lot into that place. They really
do. It's amazing.
Do.
It's amazing. So, yeah, people come visit.
Pack a lot into it. But so I got back in, and when I was back in, but I didn't have, like, any representation or anything like that. And then I got on Access.
Yes.
I had interned for Andy Engel for a summer before I stopped for the year. I had interned for him for a summer, so I'm back, and Andy goes, hey, do you want to audition for Access? He's like, you interned, and I interned my ass off for him. He was like, do you want to do an audition for Gotham? So he kind of hooked me up with that, which was nice of him. And
He's a great guy, Andy Engel. Yes.
Yeah, and interning for him was a good experience. I mean, it's always good to, like, I'm trying to think if I got school credit for it or not.
Oh, so you interned for Andy. I actually did stuff for Andy too. Who didn't do things for Andy?
Right, and his wife is great.
Yes. Magda.
Yeah, she's great. And yeah, I like Andy. We actually got along, but so he hooked me up with.
He
hooked me up with auditioning for Access. So I did that, and then I got Access. And then once I recorded Access, and I got that tape, I remember I met Louis Anderson because he was the host, and he said, you know, call me if you have any questions. And I didn't really know what the hell to ask Louis, but he was so nice. And then I finally was like, how do I get representation? What should I do? And he was like, well, reach out to some places, but you can't just reach out to like a big talent agency. They're not going to get it. Management, that's also tricky. So I reached out to college agents, and I reached out to one, and then they responded. They go, well, how much time do you have? And because I was like, well, how can I start making money doing stand up? And the first one I reached out to goes, how much time do you have? I said, I got 15 minutes. They go, well, we need an hour. And I go, oh, I definitely don't have that.
How long did it take to get that?
And they said, and they go, okay, well, call us in a year, but don't tell anyone else that ever again. They said, just say, how much time do you need? And I was like, okay. So then the second college agency I reached out to said, no, you know, we don't think you're a good fit for the market. So I'm getting discouraged. Reach out to Andy, actually, and I said, do you have any college agents you could refer me to? And he gave me the name of this guy, Rich at GP. So I reach out to Rich. He goes, yes, let's do it. We submit to the NACAs. I got into 6 NACAs, which I don't know if anyone else got into that many NACAs that year, but that's a lot of
That's
NACAs.
A lot of NACAs,
that's
yeah.
a lot of NACAs.
Tell the people what NACA is.
So what a NACA is it's a National Association of Campus Activities. They've got regional ones, and then they've got the big national one. But the regional one, it's all acts that could potentially be performing at colleges. You submit through an agent, or you can submit on your own. If you ever are interested in this process, you can feel free to like tweet me or reach out to me about it. I do have a lot of thoughts on it, but you usually typically submit through an agent, and I think there's not a ton of spots, but it's spots for any campus entertainment. So singers, slam poets, you know, musicians, magicians, the whole people
doing it's a huge deal, and it's been
crazy
that way,
stuff.
Right.
Fire breathing, whatever the hells. There's all kinds of. I see this stuff. I go, how are you expecting comedians? This guy just did a split, like pulled a flower out of his eye socket, and then there's always some crazy backstory, like, you know, war veteran who couldn't read or write, and then it's just like,
right.
You know, these heart. That's not to make fun of those things at all, because it's just these things that pull at your heartstrings, and you're like, I can't compete with this. But so I got into those NACAs, and that was nice. So this is a nice thing. Anytime someone like turns you down, then a good way to feel better about that memory is because it was nice going by those college agents that had passed on me.
Right.
And seeing them at NACAs. And then I remember the first one. They're like, oh, you got into a NACA. Congrats. And I was like, oh, I actually got into 6. So I'll see you at the next one and the next one and the next one and the next one. Did you have any acts get into NACA? Oh, just the 2. Oh, cool. Well, I'll be sure to be nice to them backstage. Whore. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No.
So
I get it.
But it's a process because then showcasing at those, it's all college kids. So it's different. But the NACAs I got into were like the South. Did not get into the West
you got
Coast
into the East. South?
The South, Gina. I didn't even get
okay,
waitlisted
the South, right.
at the ones on the East Coast. Not even waitlisted. And in the South, I got in like showcasing spot.
That's great. It's interesting.
What is? And the South kids were lovely, but to not even get waitlisted at the East Coast, but then get full on in to the South is very interesting.
All right. So at the time I meet you, is this happening? And then we were talking about Barry.
Yeah, I think I got NACA's a couple months after I met you. And then I got a manager from that because I reached out to a manager. Okay. A guy named Stu.
All right. But then you ultimately did work with Barry Katz for a little while. And I always feel like, you know, I love Barry. I mean, we go back a long time. Barry does the Industry Standard podcast for any
great
of you.
Podcast.
It's a great podcast. You can learn a lot from it.
Very charming.
God forbid I listen to it once in a while. Like, so I have no time.
I know.
Like, I'm, you know, but I he has wonderful guy. I really should be doing much more of that. But
it's a long podcast.
It's too. Yeah. And Barry knows how to pause and talk.
Well said. Yes.
No, that's one of my things. I used to say, and then Barry, if you happen to listen to this, which he probably doesn't have the time to listen
right.
to, but my thing about Barry Katz,
I don't know. I feel like he somehow listens and hears everything.
All right. Well, he can
so
hear
hi,
this.
Barry.
I learned that never to say anything when he's pausing.
Mm. You're
when
so right.
When he's pausing, don't say a word. Just
right.
let the pause be uncomfortable. It could be an right. hour long.
Just
don't
sit it
you
out.
Say- Don't
just
say a word.
Sit
don't
it out.
You say nothing.
You're right. You're so right.
Yeah.
Because he's around insecure supporters. He's pausing. They think they need to fill the pause.
Right.
Next thing you know, they're like, and then I cheated and da da
right.
da.
Oh,
the-
right. You spill your guts out.
Spill your guts
and
out.
And that's a lesson in life, folks.
Totally.
Don't
Absolutely.
Talk. When there's a pause, let it be.
Right.
You don't have to fill it with any of your nonsense.
Right. And be okay with it.
Yeah.
Okay. Now we're pausing.
So you worked with him for a little while.
Yeah. So I was with this guy. This guy, very aggressive. And he got me connected with APA. So which is a talent agency. So I got with them. And that was also cool because I tried to intern for APA. And they wouldn't even take me as an intern.
That's crazy.
Crazy. I wanted to intern so bad. I was like, you know, when I was in grad school, I was like, I'll work for free. And then I was like a lab monitor at my school. I was like, I'll take on extra hours doing that so I can work for you for free. And they didn't
right,
want me in the mailroom.
But you know when you do stuff like that too, you also sometimes compromise. Like I feel as a performer.
Right.
I do so many things on the back end of it that I'm not doing the creative
right.
side. I'm not in front where, let's face it, that's where I want to be.
Right.
So it's almost better that some of those things didn't happen for you. You
that's
understand?
A great point.
Right.
Totally.
Yeah,
yeah,
because
100%.
You'd be stuck back there and it
right.
could be 20 years later and you're
right.
like, hey,
right.
I'll make a copy of that contract for that fucker.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Totally.
Exactly.
That's true.
So
I didn't
good.
Get the
God
mail
bless
room,
you didn't
and
get
then,
that.
Yeah, and then I started working with them and then... how I connected with Barry was so fucking weird. I tagged him on a Facebook post. There was a picture of me looking up and someone goes, are you praying to God? And I said, I'm praying to Barry Katz. Tagged him in it. He reaches out. He goes, did you mean to tag me?
Did you mean to tag me in that post, killer?
And I couldn't believe. I remember I was at a doctor's appointment. I'm like, no fucking way. He checks his own Facebook. So I run home,
yeah.
overanalyze for more than I've ever even analyzed a message to a girl. And I was like, Barry, huge fan. It would be an honor upon an honor if I could send you a log line for a movie I'm trying to write. He goes, okay. Send him the log line. He goes, okay, this isn't in my lane. Thanks. Send me a stand-up clip when you think you've got a good one. Send him a clip. No response. 6 months later, when I do Access, I send him the Access. But I already had another manager at this point.
Right.
And then, because I got the manager, because one thing when you're seeking management, you want to think of it all as they literally need something to manage. People have this fantasy where it's like, oh, I'll get this manager, and then this manager will do all these things, and it's like they'll create the stuff, and then that will help me out. How, in my experience, it works is still you're creating your own stuff, then your manager literally helps you manage the stuff you do.
Yeah, pretty much.
Pretty much.
Yep, you got it.
And then, so I...
yeah.
It's a different like degrees of things, but
right.
I had another manager, but Barry Katz and I started talking after the Access tape, but I was like, and then I went and met with him and I was like, you know, I'm nervous because the things I'm doing now are small. Is this going to be interesting to you? Is it going to fall through the fall through the cracks? Is this going to be stuff you're going to want to focus on? And he was like, it'll be stuff. But I was like, let me think about it. Even though I idolized him,
sure.
adored,
mm-hmm.
still doing away.
How could you not?
So then I was kind of like, let me think about it. And then we kind of stayed in touch. And then I ended up being like, yeah, let's do it. And, you know, it was a really interesting year. I went from someone who was very hands-on and really like, you know, trying to get... Katz never took a commission from any of my schools or anything like that. I think he's focused on the much bigger picture, which is great, and I totally appreciate and understand that now. At the time, I think I needed much more hand-holding than was maybe even fair for him, unfair for me to expect.
I still need
from a
hand-holding.
Manager.
Yeah.
So it all depends on what kind of management style you want. But he is so brilliant and great. But when I mentioned Montreal, actually, I opened up for Carly Aquilino on the road. Mm-hmm. And so I got to know her manager through that. And then him and I got to hang out more at Montreal. And
is she still working with
Rick and the Converge guys?
Okay.
James at Converge and stuff.
Okay. Okay.
So Conan was at Converge and then he left.
Love Conan.
Yeah. Really nice.
I always talk about Conan on this podcast.
Yeah. Really nice. So then I got to meet them and hang out with them more through that with James. And it's just like dating. You know, yeah. James and I kind of hit it off.
Right.
And then I told Katz I was taking some meetings. And then I remember, you know, I was trying to, I would have to go through Katz's assistant to get him on the phone, which is fine, more than fine. But I was trying to get a phone date with him to tell him that I was thinking of leaving. And then that didn't work. And then there was a couple times he was going to call and he didn't. And then it was the assistant or who knows what it was.
Right.
And then I ended up being like, I'm going to start working with James. So then I couldn't get him on the phone to tell him I was going to start working with someone else. So
that's how,
it's all good. And then we had a great conversation and it is what it is.
And that's the thing about this. Like, I always think like I have a really good eye and I always think I should really handle these people. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But it's always that sort of, you know, stuck between a rock and a hard place for the last 20 years. Cause I'll see the talent. I'll say to whatever manager go to X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like back in the day, Mike Epps, you know, there's certain people that are unmanageable, like for whatever reason, like they're just not going to listen. You know, I've tried to help. It is key. And, you know, you don't know everything. Like some people I've actually tried to help, like even with my heart and my purest of intentions. There's a lot I still don't know, but it's like you got to listen to what little I do know.
And appreciate feedback. I'll over listen. If someone's going to take the time and give you feedback and they've been around and can offer anything, oh, thank God.
Right.
I mean, I can count on it's not a lot of people that really like do that for you, you know? And then you're like, and then when they do, you want to take everything they say.
Yeah, just hold on to it. So let's, all right. So that experience, now you're working a lot now.
Yeah.
And let me just see, like you've got the podcast now for Sirius.
Yes.
What's that all about?
Talk
about
this is what the Check Spot is. So I met Aaron a producer, Aaron Hodges, who's awesome. He's got a weekly show, or the Raw Report on Sirius, Raw Dog Channel too. And I met him at the South Beach Miami Comedy Festival. And then we kind of stayed in touch. And then he was like, hey, I want to float this idea by you for a show where we take albums that aren't in rotation on Sirius XM and we feature them almost like the equivalent of a Check Spot on Raw Dog. And I was like, sounds great. I'm totally into it. And then we were like, we had to take a step back because the same thing, like almost pitching a TV show. You have the idea, then you got to present it to someone, and then they want to see if they want to develop and the whole thing. So we recorded a sample episode, and then the head of programming was into it, so then we kind of took it from there, and it's once a month. And basically, it's anyone who has an album but just is not – it could have been an album they just recorded, or even, like, we like listening to, like –
comedy albums.
Just a comedy album
that they have.
We get a lot of music submissions, which kind of cracks me up. Some guy keeps sending me Avril Lavigne covers. And I want to be like, dude, first of all, why Avril Lavigne? Like, what are you doing? And then Aaron was like, Emma, And Aaron was like, Emma, you can't engage so much with the, you know what I mean? Because I was like, I'm like, what? Get every submission, I'd be like, oh, thanks so much. And then some of them would just be totally crazy.
Right.
Especially the ones where people just submit and they don't even have any regard for what the show is. Or we'd get emails like, if you're willing to come down to insert extremely remote and far place, I'm willing to be on your show. What is with the entitlement anything?
That's your Gen Y generation.
Is that what
it is? Yeah, that's your Gen Y thing. You're on, and then speaking of Gen Y, so you're on that too. Elite Daily's Gen Y. What is up with your generation? So, that's your generation.
I don't know what because I'll overdo the other way. Even like when I'm, you know, when you buzz into a building that has a doorman, I caught myself doing this. I'd buzz it. And then I go, literally, on the buzzer, like it could be freezing winter. Bzz, and I go, excuse me, if you get a moment, whenever you get a chance, I'd really appreciate if you don't mind buzzing the door. Thank you so much. Really appreciate it. No rush. And then they just buzz it in. And my sister was listening to me say that once. She goes, what the fuck is wrong? Just buzz it.
Right.
Say, let me in. That's their goddamn job. What are you thinking about? So I go almost too hard the other way. I could never imagine saying, if you come to me, I'm willing to be on the thing that you do that is hard to get. Go fuck yourself. crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't imagine that. Yep. But sometimes I wonder, does that work when people are very, I don't know, if they're like, I want to do this or I'm ready to do this, like, and they're very like pushy for it. I don't know. There's probably no one right way.
There's no one right way. But
it fucks me up in relationships, though, because I feel like in relationships I'll be like a manservant. You know what I mean?
Like you do too much for
the
person. Yeah,
like I'm like, oh, whatever you want, whatever you want, whatever you want. And then the people that are more like, no, I'm doing this and I'm doing that. Like I'd like to be more like bossy. You know what I mean?
You know, here's what I've, and it's funny because I only just learned this. I think you can't overdo much for people. You can be supportive, like show them, you know.
Right.
When I've been full on with people, it's like, they're like, why?
Right.
What have I showed you of me yet that you would be doing that?
And also, you want people, a reasonable person isn't going to ask you to do something insane. Like, I went to Boston and picked up a customized table for someone and then drove it back.
Yeah.
My sister was like,
custom-made table.
Custom-made table.
Did you have the table made custom for the person?
No. It literally, and we had broken up. We had broken up, and then I said I would do it, and then I was like, hey, look, I can't do it on that date. Is there any other thing we can do, or can I do it later? And I knew they didn't believe that I would go do it, so I said, I only had the one day off that week, too, and I was like, so you want me to drive to Boston and just pick it up for you and then drive it right back? And she was like, yeah. And I was like, I really don't want to do that. And then she was like, rah, 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 rah. And then I went and I did it. But my sister was like,
well, is that a people-pleasing thing versus a relationship thing? Relationship's
over.
Well,
we were broken up.
Yeah. So
just an idiot thing.
No.
And then I do it, and then I resent the person the whole time.
Yeah, that's not their fault.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. See, I guess this customized table motherfucker. Yeah, but then, you know.
Anything we do willingly. And that, you know, and that, or we have a motive. Like, we do willingly or we have a motive. We'll talk about relationships in comedy because it's really hard.
So hard.
It's so hard to have them. And especially in our community, you know, if we date within it, I don't know if you do, but I have. It's not
I
now.
I haven't, but I can see if I was a straight girl, how could you not?
Well, because we are attracted to funny people.
Of course. You know? If I were you, I would too. If I was a straight... But the thing that's tricky with me is if I was straight, I'd have to be a guy. And if I was a guy, I would be attracted to, like, faggy little guys. So there's real no equation of me being straight. So I don't really know how to process
it. Okay, I don't know what that even
means. Yeah, I don't even know what it means
I don't
either.
Know what you just said. I'm like, I'm I'm gonna be straight, gay, straight. I don't know. I'd hit on everything.
If I was a straight girl...
Right.
Then, of course, you're going to date. You got these funny, great guys around you.
Yeah, I mean,
by the boatload.
This boatload is 20 years of a boatload.
I would date, you know who I...
the ones, boatload of... Yeah.
I know the ones...
It's sinking. The ship is sinking, ladies and gentlemen.
The boat has gone under. I love... Like, I think...
Sinking like the Titanic.
There's some ones I think are so cute, like... I think Jared Fried's so handsome. Dan Soder, love Dan Soder.
Yeah, but when you know these guys, you know they're incapable, right? Like they're so sweet, but they're like dating all around. They're swiping left and right, left and right, left and right.
But I bet if they found the right girl, they'd be the best, great boyfriend.
Here's the thing I've learned.
Mark Norman, he's so cute, I think.
He's very cute.
He's so cute. He's so handsome.
But he's not ready. He's just like he's tasting the success, the fruits of his labors. He's at Madison Square Garden one minute and then, you know, the next minute he's...
They gotta just, if they found the right girl, they'd be great.
Yeah, well, that's the problem. No.
No?
No.
It's also
they need to be great
without, to say as an outsider.
I think the right person enhances you to be the better version of yourself.
Oh, no, you know what, Gina, you're right. Because I think I did have the right person, then I think I probably screwed it up. So you're right. Son of a bitch.
Son of a bitch.
God damn it.
Age and experience wins again. Son of a mother. All right.
But it's true. Dating and comedy is really hard. And it's not just the travel. Because Pete Lee said this to me, that he had a girlfriend who apologized to him. She goes, Pete, I'm so sorry that I was so hard on you about your schedule, because now I'm dating someone who does insurance sales and he travels all the time. So there's other jobs that travel, but there's something about comedy where people think we're just joking around, or who knows what they're thinking, but it doesn't seem like we're working.
No, it seems like it's a bowl of laughs. It's a
which
bowl
is,
of laughs.
Which couldn't be farther from the truth.
It's so difficult.
Right.
It's so, because on my end, it's the mechanics of running a club, trying to produce my own shows and do stand-up and, like, you know.
Yeah, it's a lot.
And then, and to maintain relationships. And then the deal with the mechanics of running a business for, you know, the owner, Al Martin. I love doing it. I love this. It's also, you're dealing with the public. I'm not saying,
right.
Oh my God, you're dealing with the public. You know,
it's
everybody works a hard fucking job.
Right.
I mean, we're all, if you're working, you're working. And right. Nobody's just, you know, jerking
maybe
off.
There's some job that, like, what do you think the easiest job in the world is? I had a girlfriend.
Well, anyone who's collecting unemployment.
Yes.
And just kicking back with a brewski watching
right.
Netflix.
True. Yeah, that
they hacked off somebody else. That's
right.
The easy job.
Right.
All right. So get off the government dole. What am I talking about? Who am I now?
A bull of laughs.
Let's talk about gay pride.
Yeah.
I didn't go to the, I'm not gay, but I mean, it would have looked gorgeous day in New York City.
It was really nice.
What was the tone? I mean, given, you know, obviously with what happened in Orlando, and there were a lot of things that happened that over the last few weeks in the course of the podcast, we lost a lot. We lost some, you know, major figures in celebrity, and then this happened in Orlando. Mm. And so I didn't really touch on these tragedies. And then the child, the gator incident with
what
the
kid. What was the gator?
You didn't hear?
Someone ate a kid? I'm going to sound like a real monster because I hadn't been. What happened with the gator? Was it a gay gator?
There was a, right after the Orlando thing,
yeah.
This kid and the family was vacationing at a Disney resort. And the kid was at the edge of the water or whatever. And a gator.
Ah, Christ.
Yeah, so. Yes, so
and then
that
and then there was the monkey, the gorilla.
Was there?
Well, there's always
you make that one.
No,
up?
I swear to God, there was a gay gorilla. No, there was a gorilla. But the thing is
did the gorilla live with the person? Because these people,
no,
that, you know, have gorillas
gorilla
that
cage.
Live at home. You know,
right, right.
Oh, that kid and the
yeah.
gorilla. And then
there's so many things. But what?
Stop fucking around with the
yeah.
animals for fuck's
right.
sake! It's their
yeah.
domain.
Right.
Good God.
I mean, this was the thing with gay pride.
Okay.
I don't love parades. I'm not even, I feel very disconnected from the gay community, but I wanted to do the flow. I thought it would be fun. And Robin, who
our
was
friend
on,
Robin Shaw,
your friend Robin
week.
Shaw, who's doing it, killing it on Periscope.
She's killing it.
Killing it on Periscope.
15,000 fans.
They're buying her stuff. So
they're sending her things.
They're sending her things because they just, they love her. And she appreciates
yeah.
it big time. But. So I thought it would be a fun thing for her Periscope people, actually. Mm. Basically, the reason I did the float was because
right.
I was like, okay, cool, gay pride, whatever. But then Robin and I all, you know, do the Robin and I will get to be in the float with her Periscope people. And, you know, that'll be mm. cool. But the parade, I feel so disconnected from the community. It's really
right.
not my, like, focus too much. And the Orlando thing, you want to hear something?
Yes.
You know, not to sound, the thing was, I was like, oh, that's so awful. And it is so hard to process. And maybe it's just my way of, like, coping with it in some weird way, but the thing is it's like, yeah, mental health is so stigmatized. No one, people have a hard time talking about it. People are so, like, repressed and uncomfortable in so many ways. The gun laws are all fucked up.
They're
we're
fucked
having
up.
The perfect
right.
cocktail for something like this. So I was the sadness wasn't surprised. The sadness was, oh, this is so awful, I can't believe it. But I wasn't like, wait, what happened? I was like,
this is how I process everything.
I deserve to have
right.
someone come blow my brains out now and then have people be like, yeah, but I'm just saying, and yes, I agree with you, but it's like, yeah, I wasn't shocked by it, but I was definitely mortified.
I'm never shocked.
Never
I'm always
shocked.
Like, I'm always like, wow. Like,
are we too jaded?
No, I think it's realistic to say that we live in a world now where these things are possible and they're heinous
right.
and they happen and we see it time and time again. They just haven't happened to us yet.
Right.
And when
thank
and
God.
If that happens, thank God. When and if that happens, it will be, you know, altering in ways that I can't even compute right now.
Right.
But the way I process is obviously through like you said, we came from some of us came from whatever backgrounds we came from. That are more or less heinous than the next person's, right?
Whose background is more heinous? A new game show with Emma and Gina.
We could do that. Pitch that show.
Who's more fucked up?
Yeah, beat you with your, yeah, whatever.
Right. We could have old people's therapists come on. People's exes could come on and, like, testify.
She sent so many text messages, which I never do, by the way.
You're not a big texter?
No, I learned my lesson. I try to, like, really not do that kind of stuff. Mm. No, I talk about this the last, I'm dating someone now. I
nice,
guess
congrats.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm dating him. I don't know if he's dating me.
Hello.
But no, I'm trying to just be kind of open with the situation right now. And so, so I'm trying to, you know, be open with that. And because I'm doing that, like, there's less pressure on the
right.
thing. And you really can't control.
You mean really just date and get to know?
Yeah. I
with
mean,
the,
I
no
don't think that, well, right now there's an, I'm not doing that.
Because that
not
is
doing
hard.
That.
I'll go on a couple dates with someone, then I'll be like, how will this be in 5 years?
Yeah, I tried to do that with the person, you know, I've talked about this, the person that I was dating a while, like, now it's a while back, but I watched that situation. You know, I didn't think that was going to be a thing, really.
Right.
I didn't think it was going to be a thing, but I watched that unfold from not being a thing to a very public display with his new thing on social media.
God damn it.
Yeah, so that was fucked up.
Killer, because, you have to stop following him on social media.
Well, I did. I did all that. I stopped all that.
Easier
said than
done.
Because I was doing it like a psycho, I have to admit. I was like, I was, because I was like, it was more ego than anything else.
Oh,
your ego is just like, what the fuck?
The person I was with for a year blocked me, but then I was talking to my dad the other day, and he goes, oh, I see Dedida's in Ireland. I was like, how do you know they're in Ireland? How do you know she's in Ireland? He goes, oh, she's posting about it on Facebook. So the second he said that, I was like, Dad, are you near your computer? And he was like, no. I'm like, get inside. Go on. Read me every single status update that he's ever had. I mean, that she's ever done. And my dad was like, I'm not going along with this. But now I can't wait to go visit my dad to see him. Shout outs to my dad. But I got to get on his motherfucking Facebook and see what she's been up to. It's killing
me. What we do. We all
unhealthy.
Well, this is the thing. Like,
I'm dying. Talking about it. I'm getting an itch.
Well, this is the problem. This is, well, when we're talking about tragedy,
not
my, the way I'm dealing, well, the way I deal with stuff is like, okay, that shitty thing, and not to oversimplify,
right.
These shitty things happen. And
incomprehensible.
Then, it's so bad, I have to go to, boom,
right.
I'm
How
on Snapchat.
Right.
Now I'm a cat. Like,
right,
it's so ridiculous.
Now I'm a cat.
Now, I am. I'm literally a cat
now
today.
I'm literally a cat.
I'm a cat of Instagram today.
Perfect.
Because I don't want to deal with the tragedy.
Right.
Hello. Don't even get me started on Brexit. What? That is like Brexit.
Never even heard of Brexit.
What? You have to.
Is it a new social media app?
No, it's you know, England wanted to decide Brexit, right? They
what did they want to do exactly? Succeed?
To exit the EU.
Right.
So Brexit. But it's
that would be a big thing to the EU, right?
It's a big deal. Well, they did. They decided it's going to take 2 years.
They're going to do it,
right? They voted
to
do it.
The EU's kind of fucked.
Well, who knows what's? I can't even. Again, it's incomprehensible.
Why would they even do this?
You know, my father's like, you know what? Could you act like an adult?
Right.
Because I don't know what's going on.
Right.
I really don't. I admire you for when you because you did an interview for Go Magazine.
Yeah.
You had the who is that model that's kind of that androgynous?
Yes, Rain Dove.
Okay. So
she knew everything.
She knew everything.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's cool. I'm glad somebody
had
knows
no
what's going on.
Clue.
But I like that you own that because, look, as nuts as it is, we're busy. Like, we're busy being very selfish.
Right.
We really
exactly.
are selfish.
Totally. I couldn't even.
Right.
And if I even began to try to pretend I knew what she saw, it would have blown up because I tried that.
Yeah, I can't
someone.
Do that.
Couldn't.
I own our ignorance.
Yeah, I was like, you go for it. I got no idea. And then she's like, I was doing this, and then the blah 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 with the bill, and I was like, I don't know anything. Because the other day I confused fracking and sharding because someone was talking about fracking in Argentina, and I didn't know. I thought that fracking was sharding because fracking is a political thing.
Yeah, the fracking,
but sharding
right.
is poop shitting. And I they said, what do you think of fracking in Argentina? But I thought that they were talking about sharding. So
yeah, that's a whole different
thing. That's a whole different thing.
Yeah.
So that's the level of me not
being
following current events. Like, what do you think about fracking in Argentina? I'm like, I don't give a fuck what they eat in Argentina.
Yeah, we're just trying to figure out who we are in the game.
Exactly.
In this game. So, you know, Brexit and
Brexit.
Tragedies.
So important.
Can't compute back to cats of Instagram.
Right.
I'm sure we're not alone here, which is why America is as fucked up as it is.
Right.
And yet, you know,
and I want to be
and
a good
yet we're
person.
Great.
I
and
try.
Yet,
yeah, I try.
And let's talk about America. This is going to serve as the 4th of July podcast.
I know.
We're going to take, we're going to get a problem. Hopefully, we'll air this twice on WROMradio.net.
Awesome.
But, well, so you have, well, let's go back to, so the parade, you were busy, you were doing interviews
did
then
the parade,
too?
I did the float thing with them, and then I do some interviews with them. We don't have it like consistently. A consistent schedule yet, but I'm doing some interviews with them, and so I got to go do the whole parade thing, which was nice. You know,
right.
It was lovely. It was nice.
Okay.
I'm not a huge gay prider.
You're not a huge gay pride.
Nah, okay, it's a lot. But I had fun with Robin. Robin danced around. Her Periscope went fucking nuts.
Yeah, I want to do. You know? I got to do more. I did Periscope the first time. I was dead set against this. By the way, I have to say, I'm one of these people. I'm dead set against it till I do it. I'm like, why was I so
that bad?
Dead
set against
it? Like, I'm one of those people that was like back in the day.
It's like people that say no to anal sex and then they try it
and they're like, well, then they just do this. They go, ow.
Hey,
ow,
right?
And then they're like, okay,
I'll do it.
Yeah. All
but
right.
The Periscope, Robin did it, and
what's shtick a pole?
I'm not doing that, but I know a lot of people that are doing
what
it.
What is it? I saw that. That's a blip that came up on your.
Yeah, it's. It must have been something I said I was going to, but it's like people reenact famous comedians' sets, and then they dress up like them.
And what, pole dance at the same time? I'm confused by that whole thing.
I don't know.
It's in
and
Brooklyn.
I'll be curious if it's something of interest to people that aren't in the comedy community. I hope it is, because I know a lot of great people doing it. But I did a show this weekend that had male burlesque dancers in between the comedians. That was interesting.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, and it's called...
I want to be on that
show.
Wait,
stick a pole? Wait, no. Wait,
that was stick a pole.
No, that was something else with a pole. There's two things with a pole. My thing was another thing with a pole. Shtick a pole, and it's tonight.
All right. Shtick a pole's tonight?
Shtick a pole's tonight.
All right. Well, you
so
won't...
it'll be in the past.
It'll be in the past when this airs.
Right. But the thing I did, yeah, burlesque dancers, and that was pretty fucking cool.
Okay,
we
have 10 more minutes, so this is what we're going to talk about now. We're going to coming out to your parents.
Yes. So.
As a dyslexic. I know. Yeah. I watch your... I watch your...
Oh, I didn't even do that anymore. Maybe I should start that again. I don't know.
Hilarious, but no.
I should... stop doing that. But, which, you know... If I could take back almost anything that I did with comedy, it would have not been doing Comedy Time TV, to be totally honest, because that was something where I did that on, and I had not been doing comedy long enough, and then they own the content, and it is...
You're not happy.
Don't do it. Any advice I can give.
Don't do things you're not really, truly ready to
right.
do. That's all. That's the bottom line.
The thing is when you're green, though, you don't know that you're not ready for it. So most of the things that you do that you're not ready for, you can still kind of take away, but if you do something like that, then they own all the rights
all right,
to
but
it.
But Dad...
Anyway,
Dad,
I came out to my dad. It was funny. I think he knew because I used to go in these gay chat rooms and like have cyber sex and stuff, which is hilarious because I'm dyslexic, so I can't spell anything. So me having cyber sex.
That must have been.
Thank God to the people that were willing to participate, because I don't know what. They must have not thought it was sex. Like, oh, she's just talking about her car. Like, they must not have known because my spelling must have sucked so bad. But I would go online, have cyber sex, and I remember one time he came in and I was up in his office on a computer doing it. He comes in, literally just me on the computer. He comes in, he's like, I need my computer right now. And I was like, no. And then he's like, I need it right now. And then I slammed it shut. And I was like, no, you got to give me a second to like clean up the browser. And he's like, no, I need it right now. You've been on it for 2 hours. I go downstairs. So I go downstairs and there's no way he didn't see me on some kind of gay thing. Or I used to always go on and pretend I was a guy. Go on and pretend I was a guy out of all these little girlfriends. One time I called one of the girlfriends and it was a guy. So, you know, everyone's on their line.
Everybody's
and I was pissed. I was like, dude, what are you doing? And he was like, what are you doing? And I was like, fucking A, let's go back online. So I would do that. And that wasn't officially how I came out to my dad, but that's how he had to have known. And then fast forward, I'm in college and I came back and I told that crazy psycho stepmom. This is before my good stepmom told this crazy bitch. She goes, is that person you brought home before your girlfriend? And she goes, I promise I won't tell your father. You know, I've always wondered about my sexuality. You can trust me. I won't tell him. You know, this is just something for us to share. He comes down. He goes, oh, what are you guys talking about? She goes, oh, Emma just told me she was gay. I'm like, Jesus.
Way to not spill the beans.
But the whole reason she did it was as a manipulative move because she knew he was going to leave her. So she was trying to show him that I trusted her to then make him think leaving her was a bad idea. So it was a power play in her part.
Is she gone?
She's gone.
Okay.
Just the worst.
I don't like the whole dyslexic
just evil
thing. Goodbye.
But that's the true story. How it came out to my dad. And then my mom was at a silent meditation retreat. We're sitting across from each other. It's literally silent lunch. You cannot talk at the lunch.
Right.
There's like yoginis all around. Quinoa, the whole thing. And I go, Mom. And she goes, silent lunch. And I was like, I gotta tell you, silent lunch. And, you know, people are kind of looking at us, but she's like, come on here. And I was like, since I've been in college, I've been dating women. And she screams.
At the silent lunch?
At the silent lunch. She goes, what? And I wasn't even trying to be funny, but I was like, Mom, it's silent lunch. Like, shut the fuck up. And she was like, you're a little asshole. You're an asshole. We didn't get kicked out of Silent Lab.
That's the best but story
it was, and then she was like, I need to go sit somewhere and think. And then we were like getting evil eyes from like everyone in the fucking room. You know, it's one of those bare bones places where it's like literally people go and they do, there's people in there. We were doing a silent week or something. There's people that have been doing like silent lunches for like 5 months. We like broke, ruined everything. You have to sign a waiver that you will be silent during silent lunch.
Oh my God.
Ruined it. Yeah.
I love that story.
Yeah, I was great.
A little troublemaker.
Yeah, little, and she was like, she was like, why did you even tell me during silent? And then my mom said she was shocked. I'm like, why were you shocked? I always used to be like, my sister's my wife. I'm a boy. Blah, 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 blah. And then she was like, I don't know. I was just shocked. I was just surprised. But my dad was not surprised.
He was not surprised.
He was not surprised.
I don't think anybody. I mean, like, if you're an aware parent, like, you got, right. You know.
And my mom is very aware. I was so surprised that she was that surprised. And then she was like, well, you know, whatever. So she
it
was
should
cool
be whatever. Your kids.
Yeah.
Let's just talk about, I mean, we have like a few
she
minutes.
She hates the comedy.
She hates the
comedy. Yeah, so she does the gay fine. Comedy, eh. You don't. You focus so much on entertainment and nothing on recycling. You don't even care. So she thinks I've got my priorities all out of whack.
Yeah, she should meet my dad.
Yeah.
When are you going to grow up and act like a serious woman?
Right.
That would not be today.
Right.
We have like 3 minutes, so let's. What's coming up for you in 3 minutes? What's coming up? Where can people find you? Your website and those things.
Awesome. I post all my shows on my website, www.emmacomedy.com, and you can send me a message through the contact thing. And any show I'm doing, I'll do everything I can to get comp tickets wherever I'm at. I have some upcoming dates with Carly coming up. Shout outs to Carly, who has been so wonderful to get, you know, getting the opportunity to feature for someone on the road who has a following is a huge
That's
thing.
That's awesome.
It's just great, and she's great. And
Carly Aquilino.
Carly Aquilino. It's a feel-good show. So I've got some dates with her coming up. And then I am trying to get a set together to, you know, try to do the late night thing. I'm trying to shop around a show, but that's a process.
Well, as someone that's been working with you, seen you over the last couple of years, I see nothing but a bright future ahead.
I
know that.
Because it is hard.
You do work hard. You're a very open, honest, forthright, out there person.
Thank you.
People should admire and respect it. I do.
Oh, and the check spot, of course.
And the check spot. Serious, listen to it. Your Twitter and where people can.
It's at Emma Willman, but I'm not great on Twitter.
Two L's, two N's.
But yeah. I love Instagram. So Emma Willman on Instagram.
Are you
an Instagrammer?
I'm on Instagram.
I love it. Yeah, well,
I'm a cat on Instagram right now.
Gina's having identity crisis.
I am.
Do you like Instagram or Twitter more?
I'm still a fan. I like Facebook.
Oh, me too.
I do.
Of course,
I like Facebook, and I like the whole live thing now.
Yeah.
Which maybe we should do one after
Let's
this
do it.
Show. All right. So you've been listening to the Red Light Podcast Redux on WROM Radio in Detroit. Also, internet users worldwide, subscribers, we want to thank you. Thank you, Emma Willman.
Thank you.
Jim Vern on sound.
Yeah, Jim.
And a happy 4th of July to all of you out there. Be safe, and we'll be back right after that.